Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning. Two female suicide bombers wearing belts packed with plastic explosives blew themselves up on the subway in Moscow this morning. They chose a time just before 8 when there would be the largest number of passengers on the subway. At this point, 37 people have died. The head of the Russian security agency says Chechen rebels are believed to be behind the bombing. Joining us again, Clifford Levy, who is the Moscow bureau chief for our partner, the New York Times. Also with us, Alexei Sulubenko, who's the BBC World Service Russia editor. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Clifford, good morning.
What are we sure of at this point? Are we sure that it's a terrorist attack, and are we sure the Chechen rebels are behind it?
Well, the authorities seem pretty certain that it was a terrorist attack. I think they've already gone over surveillance tapes that strongly suggest it was a terrorist attack. They're saying it was two female suicide bombers who separately set off these explosions, one in the Lubyanka station and one in the Park Kultury station. Of course, who was actually behind or organized the suicide attacks, that's not quite clear yet. Of course, the first suspicion is Islamic insurgents, Islamist extremists in the country south, in the Caucasus region, most likely Chechnya or perhaps neighboring Ingushetia, which is a region next nearby. But in terms of actual responsibility, that's certainly going to take a little longer to figure out.
Chechen insurgents have certainly targeted the transportation system and the subway specifically in the past. How are they usually in terms of claiming responsibility for attacks?
Well, it depends. I mean, there's not really one. It's difficult to say that there's actually one insurgent group that you can link all these attacks to. It gets quite murky when you try to figure out what's going on down there. For example, there was a terrorist attack on a passenger rail train in November, a train going from Moscow to St. Petersburg that killed 26 people. And even now, it's not exactly clear who carried out that attack or who organized it, even though there have been some arrests. So it'll take some time for them to figure this out.
Alexei Sulubenko, what do we know in terms of the Russian, what could be the possible Russian response to this? It was, before November, relatively quiet in terms of terrorist attacks. What could we expect out of the government now?
I think the government is already saying that they will step up fight against terrorism, but I think this has been said in 2004, which was the most lethal year, when more than 50 people were killed on Moscow metro and Moscow subway. The same was said in 2000, you know, and it appears that all these attempts to somehow use force to crush the rebellion in Chechnya and the North Caucasus, they don't bring a lot of results. I think the pattern is definitely connected with the violence, with the hostilities in North Caucasus, particularly in Chechnya, but also female suicide bombers is something that happened before on many occasions at a rock concert, at, two Russian planes were brought down by female suicide bombers. And there were threats recently, particularly from a gentleman called Said Buratsky. He's a convert. He was one of the leaders of the insurgency in North Caucasus. He was killed recently, and before his death, there were videos posted by him threatening to bring the insurgency to the heart of Moscow. And it's very symbolic that actually the first explosion happened right outside the Federal Security Building, the former KGB headquarters in Lubyanka.
So this is a very, very bold attack. Clifford Levy, certainly Vladimir Putin, when he was prime minister, had the reputation, or when he was president, had the reputation for being very, very harsh in his dealings in the Caucasus. What's the sort of coverage, the media response to this morning? Are there calls for a re-escalation?
Well, you know, Putin is actually out of Moscow right now. He's out in Siberia on a trip there. But his office immediately put out a statement saying that they were closely monitoring the situation. President Medvedev, who is Putin's protege, is technically in charge now, and he's convened a meeting with his top security and law enforcement advisors to plot a response. They haven't said exactly what they're going to do. It's worth noting that in the early part of the last decade, when this happened in Moscow and around and other parts of the country, then President Putin used terrorist attacks as rationale for centralizing and tightening control over the government. Most notably, he succeeded in doing away with elections for regional governors and having them being appointed directly by the president. It's unclear whether that will happen here, whether they'll use this as a rationale to tighten control further, but it did happen in the past.
Alexei Solohubenko, can you tell me what the Russian people feel about these terrorist attacks? I mean, there's been large calls against this kind of violence, but do they feel like the government needs to again send forces into Chechnya? What do they want?
I think the BBC Russian service is getting a lot of comments, a lot of user-generated content via Twitter and LiveJournal and Facebook and other social media, and it's a mixed message. Basically, people are asking what the government is going to do, why it wasn't prevented, but there are some questions being asked, very serious questions about why, for instance, wasn't the metro evacuated, even though the first blast happened 40 minutes before the second one. So there will be all kinds of accusations and all kinds of questions asked. It's not clear whether the authorities this time will just brush them off or will take serious measures. But again, the choice of those serious measures is very limited. It's either negotiations and trying to find a solution there by non-violent meaning in North Caucasus, or continuing the old line of tightening military presence and breeding more insurgency and more suicide attacks like this.
Well, the Russian security agency was very quick in attributing this to Chechen rebels. How credible is that?
Well, the pattern is there, and the threats were there, and they also say that there are remains of two suicide bombers, the women there who look like Chechens. But it's very, very difficult to say, obviously. I think it'll take time for the rebels, for the insurgents to claim responsibility. But I think it looks, taking all the pieces of evidence together, it looks like the threats that were made, that were coming from North Caucasus against federal authorities in Moscow have actually brought about this kind of attack in the heart of Moscow.
Alexei, Clifford Levy suggests that this is a high point of popularity for the Russian government. They've never had as much power as they've had since the end of the Soviet Union. The idea that things are limited in a response, I'm wondering if that's really valid. The Russians could go and do almost anything at this point, wouldn't you say?
Well, they did try to do almost anything. Chechnya was bombed out, you know. I think Grozny, the capital of Chechnya, was practically eliminated, but it didn't. These measures do not root out the insurgency in that area, so other means need to be taken.
Right.
And it's not clear whether the Russian government is ready for other nonviolent means of sorting out the Northern
diplomacy.
Caucasus crisis.
Alexei Solohubenko is the World Service Russia editor for our partner, the BBC, and Clifford Levy is the Moscow bureau chief for the New York Times.